Greetings all and welcome to another episode of TechNet Radio. My name is Dan Stoltz and I'll be your host today. You can reach me on my blog at itproguru.com or email me at itproguru@microsoft.com. Today we're continuing our Data in the Cloud multi-part series as we talk about big data on Azure. Make sure you stick around to the end of the show where we'll share some great tips and on a program that you may qualify for to gain access to free Microsoft software and cloud services. So you can actually use the things that we're talking about today. Today we're joined by Mustafa and Sergey. Welcome, gentlemen. Thanks for being on the show.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So maybe we can start off with just, if you'll take a few seconds to introduce yourselves, tell the audience maybe what you do for Microsoft and, you know, how you became so smart on the technology or, you know, what your job is.
Okay, I guess I can start. So my name is Mustafa. I've been working in the data space in Microsoft for a bit more than 9 years now. I've worked in the product teams, SQL Server and HD Insight. And right now I'm actually working on the customer advisory team, working with customers on lots of big data and data analytics solutions.
And my name is Sergey Pustovit. I'm an architect in Center of Excellence for Data Insights. We're concentrating on big data solutions for enterprise customers. I'm with Microsoft for 9 years. I used to specialize in the SQL Server with different workloads and then switched to big data solutions. Specifically, I'm working on analytics platform system and integration with structured and unstructured data sources, hybrid cloud solutions, and so on and so on.
So what are the different, what are the key differentiators for Azure, if we could just kind of start there?
So I can, Azure is an awesome cloud platform, and there are other awesome cloud platforms. So one of the things about Azure that I particularly like is how it strives to give you a lot of options along the spectrum from infrastructure as a service to platform as a service to software as a service. And what I mean by that is at the core level, at the base level, you can use Azure as an infrastructure as a service, meaning it's a provider of machines. And the nice thing about using it at that level is you're used to that. So you have a bunch of compute power and storage power that you can just deploy, and it's elastic and you can have as many machines as you want, and then you can do whatever you want on that. You can have Linux or Windows, you can have all of your components that you are familiar with, and if you're an IT person or a business person who's more used to that kind of control and that kind of power, then awesome, Azure is awesome for you. But the thing about Azure that differentiates it is as you want to worry less about what you want, what the power is, and you want to worry more about higher level business problems, you can move up the spectrum to platform as a service and software as a service. So if you need to worry less in the context of big data around and data analytics in general around, I don't want to worry about what the software managing my data is, I just want data analytics power or machine learning power or the additional data power, we will have a lot of options in Azure, and the options are expanding and the team is adding more and more at a very nice pace around what platforms you can use, and we'll talk a lot more about that. And then there is a awesome marketplace and ecosystem growing in Azure for software as a service. So there is a whole bunch of third-party vendors that are beginning to sell their services in Azure to give you even higher level abstractions around we're going to help you manage your data in some specific verticals around in your business. You may find a specific niche provider that will give you a specific custom solution for your case in Azure. So there is this whole bunch of spectrum around manageability and ease of use versus power and what you want to do, and you can customize your solutions depending on your needs. So that's a good differentiator of Azure. There is the how the scalability of Azure is also astonishing, at least to me. I look at how in a bunch of data centers around the world, and it's expanding again at a very nice pace around the world, and in all these data centers you get petabytes of data available. You get a huge amount of compute resources available to you. And as you scale your business, and no one enters a business thinking, I will grow so fast. But if it happens and you grow fast, you will find that Azure scales with you, and you will find that you have a whole bunch of compute power and data power available to you as you scale. And so you have all of these options, and you have all of this flexibility and scalability as you scale your needs.
I totally agree with you. You use the terms, that it's nice. To me, it's mind blowing. How much new stuff they're putting out and how fast they can do it. It really is pretty impressive. So, Sergey, what about big data in Azure? Can you talk a little bit about that?
Absolutely, Dan. Continuing the nice theme of the conversation. We are living in a data world, right? So data is coming from devices, from applications, from services, from everywhere. And there's a big need of processing that data and analyzing it. So the Azure platform actually provides full spectrum of big data coverage. We can build cloud solutions and hybrid cloud solutions. We can cover structured and unstructured data sources. And we have full cycle of analysis that, and then basically full set of services to analyze data in cloud. It's not enough for enterprises, for businesses to collect data. Data storage was a big problem decades ago when people were mostly concerned about where to find the space to get data in and store it, archive it, and so on and so forth. But then people start thinking about how can this data be effectively used. The first step in that evolution was to get into the business analytics and business intelligence to basically apply, statistical methods and different methods to just analyze data we have. And we kind of at the phase of getting to the next step of providing predictive analytics. And we will talk about what predictive analytics features we have in Azure and how we can effectively use a little bit later. But that is the nice part of Azure, that we actually have full spectrum of coverage for big data, from source to analysis, to data analysis. Within the Azure, we have three main components of data collection, storage, and analysis, which is actually mapped to store, manage, and analyze. And I would ask Mustafa to cover storage component, how we can actually store data first in Azure.
So thanks, Sergey. I'll start to get a little bit technical now, and I'm sure some people will be excited about that. In Azure, at the very basic unstructured end of the spectrum, we have Azure Storage, and that's underlying a whole bunch of other storage options as we go up the stack. So Azure Storage exposes a few abstraction levels to you. So there is Blob Storage, which is really, you can think of it as a key value type unstructured data of, I'm going to call this bunch of bytes a name and give it to Azure Storage, please store it for me. There is also file storage, where it gives you almost the same level of abstraction, but with a file system on top of it. So you have, so it's a bit higher level, so it's a file system, so you have directories, you have what you're used to. There is a bit more structured, there is queues, where you can store, it's more around storing tasks, and it's used typically for storing and queuing and dequeuing tasks for workers. And then there is table storage, which is a bit more of unstructured tables, or sorry, schemaless tables. So you can have entities in the tables so that you can have properties associated with values. And this is more of, it's simple. That layer is focused more on simple, do one thing and do it well. So that's the focus of Azure Storage. It's focused on scalability, like that you don't have to worry about. And each of these options gives you a bit more control over how you partition your data. So table storage, for example, you can provide a partition key where you can, which controls how the data is partitioned in the backend. It doesn't control it in a in a micromanagement way. It's more of a, here is a partition key, but Azure, please manage the actual partitioning for me. But what you need to know there is that behind the scenes, things are very partitioned and very scaled out, so you don't have to worry about the scaling. And it's again, with the focus of simplicity, it gives you a very scaled and flexible way, and cheap. And this is the cheapest layer in terms of your cost to business. So you can store a whole bunch of data there almost without worrying about cost, because it really becomes a commodity at that layer. At that layer, you want to really utilize it and just store your unstructured data there. That's what we tell customers usually. And honestly, when I use Azure as a customer, this is the layer where I don't even worry about how much data I'm storing there. I'll store it, and it's the mentality I have there is I'll store it and I'll worry about analyzing it later. So we have a whole bunch of analysis options we'll talk about next. But this is the layer where if I'm building an application like a web application, or if customers have devices that are writing, that are stored, like sending telemetry data, or if I have any business needs where there is unstructured data exhaust, as we call it sometimes, coming out of these applications, we store it there. We typically just store it there. We just say, even if we don't know how we'll use this data later, we just let's store it there. We'll worry about it later with the other options. And
great. So let me just drill down on that just a little bit. So mm-hmm. you're storing a data, and I'll say too, what I've observed with it is not only is it super cheap, like you mentioned, but man, is it fast. I mean, it's
exactly
really fast to pull data off of Azure. Just blows me away how fast it is. Mm-hmm. I'm not really sure how they do that, and maybe you guys do, but we'll figure that out in a future session, I think. How do customers actually get it up there and actually use it outside mm-hmm. of, you know, being logged into a virtual machine and stuff running on a virtual machine? How do customers actually use that for their workloads?
So that's a great question. So there are two sides of usage, and you'll find this a lot more in more big data analytics as you go into unstructured big data analytics solutions. There is the side of the producers of the data, and there is the side of consumers of the data. And a lot of times these sides use very different mechanisms, and it's just a very different need. So the producers of the data typically store their data at this layer using the REST APIs, which are wrapped in a whole bunch of SDKs for a whole bunch of languages. So whether it's ASP.NET, a web application that's logging using C#, and that's being uploaded through diagnostic services to Azure Storage, or whether it's Node.js web server, or whether it's a small, whether it's so there is a whole bunch of ways that you can interact with Azure Storage to just upload your data there. So for example, Blob Storage is very well suited for append only or really modify data. So if it's something that's just producing lots of logs, for example, or telemetry or so on, Blob Storage is very well suited for that, to just upload as you go. And you typically, again, at the end of the day, you're going through the REST API to do that. Now, on the consumer side, typically you have your data analysts and your business analyst people wanting to get at that data. So one excellent way to start to get at that data is HD Insight. So for you who are not familiar with it, HD Insight is Microsoft's Hadoop solution in Azure as a platform. Just to mention it, there are other Hadoop solutions. And again, just to go back to the theme of Azure as a platform that gives you a whole bunch of flexibility, you can buy, like we just announced, Azure just announced a deal with Cloudera, and we have already a deal with Hortonworks, where you can buy it from very fine Hadoop solutions as an infrastructure from these providers. But if you want more a platform option, where it is much more elastic, much more you bring it up and you go and get it down as you please, this is where HD Insight comes in. And HD Insight provides, I like to think, so even if you're not familiar with Hadoop, and by the way, Hadoop is a whole bunch of ecosystem and open source frameworks to analyze data typically using the MapReduce paradigm, which is a command like divide and conquer. Sorry, I always think of the game Command and Conquer. Divide and conquer paradigm. So HD Insight, I like to tell people at the end of the day, is unleashing lots of compute resources on your data. So you can spin up tens or even hundreds of compute nodes just to analyze your blob data at any point, and then you can spin them down whenever you want. So that gives you that flexibility and that power of compute to just analyze data in blob storage, or actually, or even in table storage, or other types of storage. But its main target is blob storage, and it gives you things like Hive, for example, which is a SQL interface to this data to be able to analyze that data in blob storage. So that's one of the most popular options in terms of big data analytics way to access that storage. But I'll say this again, there's a REST API, there's a whole bunch of ecosystem around it. Some people find that it's easier to access it from their own custom applications to do their analytics. There is a whole bunch of ways. So yes, for that layer, I'll yes, this is my.
Okay, great. So a couple things, just so that I'm clear. Now you had mentioned a moment ago about programming languages, and you specifically called out .NET. But it's from a programming and API standpoint, it's not just Microsoft programming.
Absolutely,
languages, right?
I actually also tried to mention Node.js, but you're right. You're absolutely right. We have there is SDKs
awesome.
For JavaScript, there is SDKs for Python, there is SDKs for Java, there is SDKs for a whole bunch of languages, and whatever languages are missed, there is the REST API that all languages. I think.
Got it. Okay. Now, so HD Insight, it's not SQL, but you can have this Hive tool to actually leverage to grab data out of that as if you were looking at it as if SQL data. Is that, did I understand that correctly?
Correct. It gives you a SQL language. It's not SQL as in a SQL traditional database SQL server, but it gives you a SQL language layer that
it takes
two queries with it, and it translates it into MapReduce jobs or data analytics jobs that go to the blob storage directly.
Wonderful. So, Sergey, we talked about at least one option for managing data, and that is, you know, the HD Insight. Can you tell us about some other options within, and we can do this at kind of a high level because we have other sessions within this series where we're gonna drill pretty deep.
Okay.
So if you could, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, Dan. So just to kind of classify, we have unstructured, and we already mentioned that we have ability to store raw data in the storage, in Azure storage, and we have ability to manage unstructured data with HD Insight. We can also have relational data stored in Azure. So before we'll get to the relational, I want to kind of add a little bit more into how we're managing unstructured, what are other options to manage unstructured data. As part of the big data, modern data warehouse, we actually provide interface to the Azure from the on-premises solution that Microsoft also basically currently present to customer, which is called Analytic Platform System. It's an appliance product that actually can access transparently data in HD Insight and Azure Blob Storage through technology called Polybase. It's a transparent connector that allows to transparently query data with a very familiar to SQL language. So Mustafa already mentioned there is a programming languages supported REST interface, JavaScript, C#. You can access that in a variety of ways. But if you want to combine the data that is actually stored in the cloud with your on-premises solution and have one place to actually do that transparent combination and transparent data aggregation, you can actually use APS with Polybase to query all of that data with just a familiar transaction-based language. Now let's kind of switch a little bit gears to relational data. What kind of options we have? We actually can have SQL Server in Azure, SQL Server instances in Azure, which basically can spawn on customer demand, and we can actually store relational data in Microsoft Azure. Now, how data is actually loaded to SQL Server in Azure? So when we actually spawn the instances there, We basically provide a set of familiar tools to customers. They can use SSIS, SQL Server Integration Services. They can use Data Import Export Wizard. They can use just a low-level tool such as BCP to load data in. And then while data is already in appliance, it actually can be used further for analysis and processing. There are other type of interfaces or actually features that allow us to manage data in Azure. I will just name them. As Dan mentioned, we will have more detailed sessions on each of them. There is also interface through the DocumentDB, which basically provide the additional interface to unstructured data to manage documents in a more effective way. We can use cache for caching data in the cloud. We can use search, Azure search. So there's a lot of options to manage data in Azure.
Okay, wonderful. If I could drill down just a little bit on one thing, the cache, I think a lot of people don't really understand what that is or why it's used. I mean, I think DocumentDB, you know, you have files up there that you want to access. That's pretty obvious. Correct me if I'm wrong. But cache, can you tell us just a little bit more about what that is? And maybe more importantly, you know, some of its key features. I mean, I know it's wicked fast, but you know, so what are the use cases for it, and you know, how is it different from, you know, the DocumentDB or the SQL Server?
Mustafa, do you want to cover that part?
Sure. So cache is more of a wicked, as you said, it's a wicked fast, and it's. And it gives you, more of a key value interface. So again, it's focused more on simplicity rather than SQL Server, which is more focused on giving you the power of a relational model and giving all of that power. So cache gives you that ability to say, just very quickly in memory, here is a value. Can you associate that value, here's a key, associate that value with it, and a bit later, can you give me the value for that key? So it scales really well. It gives you the ability to store, I'm not going to say numbers right now because I'm not that familiar with the exact numbers, but lots of key values pairs.
Yeah, it's actually in gigabytes and tens of gigabytes, and actually, absolutely, it allows you to store data in memory, what is actually comes from name, right, cache, and provides very fast access. Yeah. While if we're comparing it to SQL Server is a relational database which actually has its own caching optimized for relational processing. With SQL Server, we can optimally run aggregation, join queries, and SQL Server will actually heat up different level of caches. It will have a file cache and buffer cache with buffers pooled from the file storage to make sure we have easy and fast access to the data. While Azure Cache is actually applying to wider variety of data stored in Azure, right? So the SQL is concentrating on relational optimization for relational data access, while cache is actually applied for a wider variety of all data basically stored in Azure.
So a couple of use cases for that might be, correct me if I'm wrong, so if I have, say, state data, something that you're using constantly, you want fast access to it, that might be a good case for it. Or maybe another case might be is if I have a particular join, maybe it's a complex join or something, that's really costly to run in SQL, but I run it all the time, I can maybe put that into cache. If those are you know, accurate use cases, then how would I refresh that cache, or how's that cache updated? Is that just, you know, a line in the code somewhere that that the server processes? Do you guys know about that?
So this is an API, by programming API, that allows to manage the cache. So when you need to update data in cache, I will cover a little bit more the aggregation between the cache data and SQL, as you mentioned, right, Dan. It's probably not the best use case to actually cache data for the joins that typically use in SQL. I would keep that data relational, right, in the SQL Server because it actually caches the memory already. What we actually can use cache for is to speed up access to data stored in outside of SQL, non-structured, unstructured data, right, so that we can actually have faster access to that portion. And then whenever we actually have external integration, perhaps between on-premises solution with either in future SQL and APS, right, on-premises, with a cloud data stored on structured data in cloud, and then the relational data in SQL. So that this is where cache may actually come in play in a very powerful way, because it actually can decrease SLAs and increase the response time, actually decrease response time, basically provide more powerful access to the data storage. So,
excellent. While we're on the hybrid cloud solution, can you maybe talk a little about APS DPW and how it can help with the hybrid cloud?
Absolutely. APS is an appliance type of product, which is basically installed, configured, and sold by Microsoft as a hardware plus software. It's a massive parallel processing type of system, which basically in MPP space, which basically allows to spread the actual data processing across multiple servers. It's basically on-premises solution for you know, high performance, well, the big data type of processing for the customers, right? If we actually talking about hybrid, the typical application of, and you know, people very much wondering of when do you need to use cloud, when do you need to use APS, because APS provide a lot of data storage. You can keep up to 6 petabyte of data in APS appliance. So the question is when to use what? The typical use case scenario is when we dealing with sensitive data. Right, and a very security sensitive data that people may be hesitant to store in the cloud, they actually can keep in APS appliance on premises. And then the most transactional data, which basically have no you know, in persistent customer related information, they can keep in the cloud. One of the scenarios, let's say if it's a banking industry, we can have transactions. We can obfuscate the actual accounts numbers and keep the accounts with all the personal information in on premises in APS, and then only have referential integrity with keys that which doesn't have any meaning to the data in cloud, right? And the cloud data can actually be main transactional processing data, right? So then, from business standpoint, when we're actually trying to access and aggregate this data together, we can actually use one transactional language, a T-SQL language, connect to the on-premises APS, and through Polybase technology that allows us transparent integration with cloud side of the storage, we can access data from one place transparently. So that actually where we can build this hybrid solution with on-premises part and the cloud part. And the cloud actually can be SQL. We can keep certain small data marts in SQL Azure as a spokes for hub and spoke type of architecture. And cloud data actually can be blob storage, or it can be HD Insight. BDW a workload in APS through the Polybase, and I'm throwing a lot of acronyms. The PDW is a parallel data warehouse in analytics platform system appliance. Through Polybase integration that allows transparent integration with cloud or in structured data, it actually can seamlessly provide access through T-SQL language to HD Insight, to Hadoop data in Azure, and to the Azure Blob storage. So it's literally you're connecting to PDW workload, and you're typing T-SQL query, and that query joining data from blob storage to the local table and producing results.
That sounds incredibly powerful.
Absolutely. And it's, you know, you don't really have to learn all the lower technology. Any data and business analyst can do that. Whoever, you know, familiar with T-SQL language, it's a very, very powerful technology that basically providing customer flexibility of where to store data, right? And basically decide which data will go to cloud, which data can be stored on-prem, and so on and so forth.
So while we're talking about kind of data analysis, maybe you can talk a little about the presentation layer.
Absolutely. So that's the third and very important part of big data solution, right? So we talked about how we can get data in. Now let's talk about, well, we talked about how we can get data in and how we can manage and process it. How can we get data out? Well, how we can present it to the end user. There are, I would classify the presentation layer in two different, with the two different options. One is a traditional data analysis that we can have and we can basically use in Azure. It's a traditional T-SQL queries, of course, with familiar tools such as SQL Server Data Tools, where we can connect to SQL Azure and just run queries against it. We can also use business intelligence in Azure. Business intelligence can actually be installed in VM on top of SQL Server. Basically, we can have SQL Server Analysis Services feeding and pulling data from SQL database and analyzing it. And we also can have whole set of the Power BI subsection of Office 365, such as an Excel. With an Excel with Power View, we can connect to SQL Azure databases, pull it, and analyze it there as well. There is also SQL Server Reporting Services software as a service that can be used in Azure that can actually, when data is analyzed and ready to be represented, you can actually build reports and publish them to SharePoint. Right, so which is again part of Office 365. You see, everything is covered by cloud. Everything is in cloud, which is really, really, really great. And then less traditional and more advanced data analysis that are becoming more and more popular these days is predictive data analysis. And predictive data analysis is actually getting more and more powerful these days because people don't only want to understand, what type of data they have and what parameters of data they have or analyzed data kind of postmortem, right, in the banking industry to understand how many transactions they get in a certain day from certain area, right? But they also want to predict certain events. It's very powerful framework for risk detections, right, fraud detections. In the car industry for car maintenance, predicting car maintenance events, right? In insurance, let's say, the behavioral analysis, right, to understand better, how people will actually, what events happen typically with people on certain days, on a certain type of year, right? So the traditionally predictive analysis are pretty complicated. It require a lot of mathematical statistics processing. It's actually typically done by PhDs. So what we actually provide with the Azure solution, we actually have a service called Azure Machine Learning, which is still in preview, but we're going to be released pretty soon. Customers can already use it now with the data that is stored in Microsoft Azure. So what does that service look like? What is the typical framework of what can be done with Azure Machine Learning? So basically, typical framework is you get data from a variety of sources. You processed it and transformed, you accumulated it now you need to analyze. So you have to access data, right? And basically Azure Machine Learning Framework has ability to access it from either HD Insight as an unstructured data source, through Blob Storage, through actually just the regular CSV files, through SQL Azure. And then when data is accessed, you actually have very powerful tool in Microsoft Azure where you're building the framework of analysis of your data. Based on existing modules which provide statistical methods, you can build the model of analysis, and the service will automatically apply all statistical methods that are already pre-packaged with this solution. And the develop model, you can actually experiment it, you take and test it, and then you can get an outcome. You can actually get the predictive analysis on certain events that will happen, may happen, right? So this can be actually very powerful, like I said. So for some use cases, I can give you, let's say, fraud detection, right? So you have statistical data over the last 3 years on certain fraud events, right? And you want to prevent the crime, right? Prevent the potential fraud. Based on this statistical data, you may actually find out that in a certain months, because of certain event, this fraud may happen. So you can actually build reports that can show you that. So you not only analyzing, you basically can expand your business based on this framework. Get it to the completely new level where you actually can build your forecast. You can actually grow your businesses based on analysis of the data that you have. It's a very, very powerful framework that we providing in Microsoft Azure.
Yeah, one thing I'll add, like a couple of things I'll add on this, because I'm not a machine learning expert. I'm definitely not a PhD. And one of the things that I've seen the Azure machine learning team do, and it's a very powerful thing, is that they really did go with the mission of machine learning for the masses, even if you don't have that. So you can really, if you have any type of data in Azure, it's a very fun experience, and I would encourage people to just play with it, to just go and play with. Just it's a very simple drag and drop studio that you can drag and drop very powerful statistical methods that you don't need to know much about, but that can just unsupervised structure your cluster your data, for example. So you can have that and just see what clusters in your data emerge from you doing that. And they also focus on making it very easy to operationalize what you have. So if you play with this and you suddenly find, oh, this is interesting, I want to expose that in my website front end, for example, they make it very easy to have an operational model that your website front end can just expose to customers, to your customers, as you build it. So very common case other than what Sergi mentioned is, for example, the recommendations engine. So we have, if you have something like, you looked at these items, maybe you'll be interested in that. That's something that's a very powerful use case for that as well.
Yeah, and to add to this, actually one more kind of, you know, on the flexibility side, right? It's absolutely easy. I absolutely second to the Mustafa recommend for customers just to get into the Azure account and create new machine learning project and see what you can do with that. It's a drag and drop experience. But what is really cool, the actual custom modules, it actually has modules pre-built with statistical methods to analyze, to provide predictive analysis. But if you want to expand it and build your own module, there is a Azure ML SDK published on Codebox where you can actually use that SDK to build your own modules. You can also use a standard R schemas from R product to actually apply to the data you have using Microsoft Learn, the Azure Learning Machine Learning Framework. All you need is to upload the package and apply it to your data through Azure Machine Learning. So it's very, very flexible and allows you a lot of gives you a lot of features to manipulate and analyze your data.
Excellent. Just a couple more things along that lines. So I think you said that you can tweak it, and it's not just a drag and drop and go do it. You can, as you're going through the process and seeing what your results are, and reassign what your needs are, kind of on the fly, and make all that happen. Right.
Absolutely.
I think the other point or the other thing that I want to ask about is, whenever you've got a lot of data, I mean, this is a big data discussion, right? Whenever you have a lot of data and you're doing this analysis on it, sometimes it can take a lot of processing to do that. Sometimes it can take a lot of time. So what are our options for requeuing or recalculating, or is it an autocalc all the time? Is there a window that I can configure? And what are some of the things that I can do to save money, but to make sure that my data doesn't get too stale, and maybe some of those kinds of discussions?
So you can actually, it's a very good question, Dan. You can pre-aggregate, pre-process your data. Well, of course, the Azure provides pretty fast analysis on data and data that you already have, but you're absolutely right. Sometime, not only from speed of analysis, but also to make sure that your data design and architecture is optimal enough, right? You sometimes need to apply certain aggregations on the data that you already have before you're analyzing it in AML, Azure Machine Learning Framework. So what you can do, you actually can pre-process, pre-aggregate data with an external, the platform and services in Azure, and then do post-processing, post-analysis by Azure ML. So what options you have for that? You can actually pre-process data in HD Insight by applying MapReduce jobs, or you can actually apply Hive for that as well. Mm-hmm. That's one option. You can use SQL Server and a SQL Server in Azure to pre-process data, or you can use on-premises APS appliance to pre-process data as well. So you can get data from, use power of your MPP solution to process data very, very, very fast, and then you can upload it, basically data that is prepared for analysis, back to Azure through the blob storage, for instance, and then use that in Azure ML to do predictive analysis.
And awesome.
Yeah. One thing I'll add, because you mentioned, like, can I schedule this? Can I do this in the window? And there is an awesome service that in Azure as well. Again, things are added left and right. It's Azure Automation that can help you schedule jobs at your will. So you can use Azure Automation, for example. And I've helped customers do that, and I've seen customers do it where they would spin up an HDN client cluster of many nodes of compute, pre-process the data quickly, spin that down to save cost, and then that pre-aggregated data is available for Azure ML or whatever other things.
Awesome. So if I wanted to do that like every 4 hours or twice a day, no problem.
Exactly. Yes.
Yep. Got it. Yep. Wonderful. So as we talk about data analysis or just analysis, what are some other, are there other things that we need to make sure that our audience is aware of?
I think the last thing that I want to mention is another very powerful feature that recently been added to the Azure is actually a streaming framework, where we can actually process data streams in a very, very fast manner for the further processing and analysis, regular analysis, predictive analysis. What the streaming framework allowing to do is to process thousands of events per second. It's very, very fast the type of processing. So we can get temperature readings from devices. We can basically use it in IoT framework, Internet of Things integration with Azure. The data can be actually streamed to either blob storage or to service bus to for queuing. It does it very, very fast. And then further, it can be processed by any manageability tools that we already discussed. It can be processed by SQL, HDN site, can be processed by on-premises solution with a feedback back to the Azure for further the business analysis. So
what are some use cases for some of this technology? And in particular, you know, I know there's thousands of use cases, especially in really large businesses, where, you know, a company has thousands of products and they've got millions of customers. Are there, you know, if you want to touch on a couple of those, that's fine. But are there use cases for some of this really cool technology for smaller businesses or even startup businesses?
Absolutely. I think, you know, there's a lot of work going on in embedded space, in devices space, right? So the phone
Internet
devices, I mean, yeah, Internet of Things. And Internet of Things is, people typically think about it as a hardware device, but it actually can be just a regular phone, which generates events, tweets, I mean, any events that have been basically happening on the actual phone, right? So any startup that actually creating a social application or any application that generates any type of business event can actually get take advantage of using streaming, the free streaming framework. Also the classic devices, right? Definitely something, the sensors, device sensors, temperature readings, certain analysis of the device behavior and stuff like that, temperature, I mean, maybe CPU and stuff like that. It also can be very helpful for manageability, for the diagnostics. If we're trying to track, let's say, web servers and analyze the behavior of web servers based on logs, right? So the log generating a lot of events, so that can be actually helpful as well. So.
Okay, so I guess the last thing that I want to ask you guys while I've got all your intelligence on this, how do we get some of that intelligence? You know, where are some of the places that they can go, that our audience can go to really learn about some of this stuff? Not only learn, you know, what it's used for, but also how to actually deploy it, and you know, how to, you know, take my existing workloads and start leveraging some of these great technologies. Do you have any suggestions for us?
Absolutely. There's tons and tons and tons of information on the MSDN, right? So there's information about all the technologies that we actually covered with examples how to start, step-by-step instructions, and so on and so forth. There's a variety of blogs. If you go to Bing.com and definitely use Bing for that. You can search you can search for any technology that we discuss. You will see tons and tons of blogs on different teams, development teams, customer advisory teams, COE teams. We actually provide a lot of information on best practice and how to use these individual technologies. And last but not least, I definitely will encourage you to start trying. Right,
yeah.
Create a trial account, get into the management console, the management portal, and start playing with the individual components of Azure to understand better what and how you can do it.
Great point. And I actually have a URL that people can use to get that free account. It's aka.ms/IaaS for infrastructure as a service, obviously. But it can be that same free account can be used for all of these services, not just infrastructure as a service. Well, thank you, Mustafa and Sergey. I really appreciate you being here today. In the beginning of the episode, I promised to leave the audience with some great tips. So let me roll with a couple of these tips, and I'll come back right back to you. First, I think, you know, it's really, really important that, you know, we get smart with using Microsoft MVA. So the Microsoft Virtual Academy, if you go to aka.ms/clouddatamva, that will take you to the Microsoft Virtual Academy, where you can learn about a ton of the Azure technologies, some of these included. So second, and the one that frankly a lot of people are going to be the most happy with, is a program that we've put together to give startup businesses access to software and Azure services. I've actually set aside 1,000 codes for those that qualify to leverage the program. If you have or know someone who has a startup or want to start your own business programming or otherwise developing in the cloud, go sign up at aka.ms/clouddatafree. You'll need, you know, to have a business name already. You'll need to have your company URL, your company website set up. It doesn't have to be elaborate. Just explain to us what you're doing in your website, and fill out the application. That URL, you have to use that URL because it's embedded with that secret code for the first, you know, 1,000 people that want to start their business. And you basically get, you know, $150 a month of Azure for 3 full years, absolutely free. There's a ton of software that comes with it as well. And then we've got the capability of at buildyourbiz.org. There's a ton of content up there to show how to get hands-on with this. And like Sergey mentioned earlier, there's a ton of stuff out on Windows Azure and MSDN that also includes a lot of step-by-step. But my final word is a word of encouragement. You know, cloud technologies are growing at a staggering pace. And, you know, I'm really glad that everybody that's here is watching this video now. But don't stop there. I'm thrilled that you took the time to learn about today's topic. But please keep learning, keep growing. Do it for your employer. Maybe they'll appreciate it, maybe they won't. But at the very least, do it for yourself. You know, do it for your career. Your employer will benefit, kind of whether you want them to or not. But you'll benefit the most. And, you know, keep learning. Stay tuned in for the next episode of Data in the Cloud. It's coming real soon. You can access the landing page for the entire series at itproguru.com/clouddata. And a lot of the things that we talked about, I'll make sure that the URLs, the actual links, get into that blog post that's accompanying this video. And we'll put that up live on the IT Pro Guru site very, very soon. So thank you both for joining us. And we appreciate all the wisdom that you've shared with us today.
Thank you, Dan.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.